Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson on a fiery week here in Southern California. That was a big story in Los Angeles. But the other big story nationally in the political conversation is this question over impeachment. Joe Biden came out for impeachment for the first time this week. One guy who's been for impeachment before pretty much everybody else is Tom Steyer. He's running for president. He spent like $50 million over multiple years on this group called Need to Impeach. We talked to him. He came back to our studio for an interview this week about that, about running for president, about the debates. A lot to talk to him about. A little bit later, we talk about impeachment with John Cobalt and also Sarah Azari and Brian Tyler Cohen. But we begin with Tom Steyer.
Welcome back to The Issue Is.
Alex, thank you for having me back.
So last time you were here, you had decided not to run for president. Then you decided to run for president. There's a group of 25 other candidates. What was missing in that group of 25 that you uniquely can bring? Why you?
Well, I thought there were two things that made me feel as if I absolutely had to run. The conversations in the debates were about different, very important policies and the nuances between the candidates on health care, on education, on the Green New Deal. But nobody was telling the truth, which is none of those policies can happen until we break the corporate takeover of our government. That basically this government is broken in Washington, D.C. It is incapable of passing any of those policies. And until we get back to government of, by, and for the people, those are interesting conversations, but they're theoretical.
So you, as a billionaire who's made a lot of money in this system, is better positioned to do that than, say, a Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, who keep making that the big point of their campaign as well?
Well, if you look over the last 10 years, I started building coalitions of ordinary American citizens to take on that unchecked corporate power, and we've been winning. I've taken on the oil and gas companies and beat them. I've taken on the tobacco companies and beat them. I've taken on the monopoly utilities, the drug companies. My history, actually, over the last 10 years, as an outsider of the political system, is to organize people to beat the corporations. And also, I've built one of the largest grassroots organizations in the United States, Next Gen America.
Right.
So, actually, if you look at the history and you wonder, if you think this is the problem, broken government, and I think Americans across the board know it's true, then you have to ask yourself, who is going to reform the government? Is it going to be someone from the outside who's been doing it successfully for 10 years, or is it going to be a Washington insider who's been there for a really long time?
Yeah, and you are running as an outsider. As we mentioned, you were on our show before. Last time in that appearance, I introduced you. And then I watched your introductory video to the campaign itself, and I heard a familiar voice. Let's play this. Tom Steyer, one of the most influential activists in Democratic Party politics. So thank you for that. Thank you for watching The Issue Is.
Well, you're very articulate.
Okay. Let's talk for a moment about the sort of big issue that people know you best for, which is impeachment. You've run this organization, Need to Impeach, given some $50 million to that. You've got 8 million people around the country to sign up who are interested in that. Is there part of you now that we have this impeachment inquiry that is sort of thinking, told you so? And is there part of you that also thinks, if you would have listened to me all those months ago, maybe we wouldn't be having all the problems that we're having now?
Well, Alex, this isn't about me. You know, my goal with Need to Impeach was to organize and empower the voice of the American people. Because I've always felt the point here is there's something terribly wrong at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. There's a crook in the White House. And it's absolutely important for the American people to oppose that and to stand up for what's right. One of the things that you may or may not know is that my dad was in the Navy during World War II, and he ended up prosecuting the Nazis at the end of the war. And I asked him about it, and he said, look, Tom, when you see something really wrong in your society, you're supposed to fight it every day. You cannot let it get stronger. You cannot let it get, you know, bigger and more powerful. You have to fight it every day. And that's really what Need to Impeach was about. I always said, this is right and wrong. This is evil in America. And it's absolutely important for American people to oppose it. And I think that's really what's happened. We've dragged Washington over 2 years to a place where they're now saying it's right and wrong.
And this week we see for the first time a Fox News poll, 51% of the country wants to see Donald Trump not only impeached, but also removed from office. Do you think, as an investor, as somebody who's a numbers guy, that in November of next year, Donald Trump is still going to be president?
No. I think the point of this is there's a good chance he won't be on the ballot.
That's what I mean.
Because I think the real question here is not what do 100 senators think or not what do 435 congresspeople think. The question here is what do the American people think? This is a question of, for the American people, when you learn what's happened, when you can see on TV the history of corruption of this president, what is your decision? Because that's actually the right thing to happen, and it's the thing that actually will happen.
So you think 20 Republican senators are going to vote to convict and remove Donald Trump?
Well, let me put it to you this way, Alex. They're not going to make that decision because they're looking at objective fact. We all know he's a crook. They know he's a crook. Everybody in the United States knows he's a crook. The question is, they're going to make a political decision for themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think if their constituents are saying to them, get rid of him or we'll get rid of you, then they're going to be very quick to get rid of Mr. Trump.
Part of the substance of what the White House is saying is that the allegation is that Hunter Biden was making $50,000 a month from a Ukrainian gas company, which doesn't look great for Joe Biden. Would you allow your son to do something like that if you were president, or your vice president's son to do something like that?
Well, I think that, you know, the real question here isn't about the Bidens. I know that the Trump administration and Rudy Giuliani specifically are desperate to make it about the Bidens. But the real question here is there's something that's a huge question here. Did the president of the United States use his office for his own personal gain? And the answer is yes. And everything else besides that has to be secondary. People have looked into this, news organizations and law enforcement, right, and said there was nothing legally wrong. So, but the real question here
is, isn't there a difference between legally wrong and ethically what you would want? Because, I mean, isn't that the argument the vice president of the United States used his office, or his family used his office for personal gain?
No, that's it. I think there's been a question of that, and it's been cleared. Yeah. There's a question about, is it illegal?
Right.
The president did something illegal. They're trying to change the question to, does this look improper? Mm-hmm. But that's really not the question for the American people. If you're Donald Trump, what you're trying to do is you're trying to create a false comparison, a mm-hmm. false equivalence. The real question here is, the question for the world is, should the most powerful man in the world be removed from his office by the American people for breaking his word, for breaking his trust to the Constitution and to all the rest of us?
And your answer, of course, to that would be yes. So let's talk about the debates. Next week, we're going to see you on the debate stage for the first time. You come into this, behind in the polls, about 0.6% is your Real Clear Politics polling average. How do you break through? What's your strategy for next week?
Well, let me take a step back, Alex. I've been spending my time, I'm the last person to get into this race, I think.
Right.
And I've been spending my time in the early primary states. Mm-hmm. And in those, I'm actually in fourth place. Mm. I'm at 8% in fourth place in the four early primary states, according to a poll that came out, I think, on Tuesday. So my goal is in this debate is to do exactly what I've been doing in those four early primary states, is to basically say, here's what I believe, here's what I think is important, here's who I am. Mm-hmm. And to, you know, really introduce myself to the people of the United States who clearly don't know me, and to give them a sense of why I think that I'm the person who can be trusted to do two big things. Break the corporate stranglehold on our government, which I think will put us in the best position of any people in the history of the world, mm-hmm. and stabilize the climate crisis. I'm also the person who's worked on that for 10 years really successfully. I've beaten companies. I've pushed for clean energy successfully. I have the most aggressive plan. I view it as a crisis and an emergency, and I treat it like that from day one of my presidency.
And Californians who follow this stuff should know that you've been as active on that as than pretty much anybody else in the state for the last decade. Let's talk about healthcare also, a big issue. Been the biggest debate so far in the debates is this question of, should there be Medicare for all? Should we get rid of private insurance? You say we shouldn't get rid of it, at least not yet, right?
Yes.
Why is that? Why are Sanders and Warren wrong on that?
Well, what I'm proposing is a public option. That basically you can go and get a means-tested, basically add yourself onto Medicare. Mm-hmm. And that if you do that, we can use the power of the federal government to drive down costs by negotiating and you know, forcing those prices down across the board. We can cover everybody. Everybody will be eligible. But we don't tell 160 million Americans who've negotiated and fought as part of their compensation to get their health care through their work that you now forget that, that's off. You're going to do it our way or no other way. Right. I just think in the United States of America, people are allowed to choose. There's such a thing as freedom. And so to people who think they know their life and their family and their health better, okay, I will try and make the public option so much better and so much cheaper that you're going to beg to be on it. But it's going to be your choice. I don't like the idea of a government of people in Washington, D.C., telling everybody across the United States, we know your life better than you do. You'll do it our way, period.
Let's talk for a moment about sort of one of the side effects of climate change, which is what's happening in this state with the power blackouts. I know you've seen in Northern California and in this Southern California, hundreds of thousands of people without power right now because of concerns about fires being sparked, the power companies trying to limit their liability and all this. A lot of people are angry, though, that they're without power. What do we do in this state? How do we sort of fix that issue?
Well, you know, as you said, Alex, what happened was we had those horrible fires last year. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be true going forward, that we're going to have incredibly dry, long fire seasons with big threats. And PG&E was blamed for causing a couple of those fires and was held liable. And, you know, it cost them tens of billions of dollars. So their attitude is, okay, we're not going to take that risk anymore. We're going to actually cut people off to prevent the risk. And I think what's going to end up happening is they're going to have to upgrade their system for darn sure. It's very clear that their system has not been upgraded in the way that it should be to prevent the possibility of causing, you know, sparks. But I think also we're going to end up with a change in the way that the liability is held, because I think they're making a point that we're not going to take any liability whatsoever. If we're going to be held strictly liable, then we're going to, you know, we're going to make sure that we're safe at the expense of everybody else. And somehow that just isn't an option going forward. So I think that it's going to end up be a different question about the way the liability is taken care of.
Seems like millions of people without power is not a sustainable thing.
Does it make any sense whatsoever?
All right, let's talk for a moment about you. You have a video on your website, which I encourage people to check out, where you talk about your family and talk about how they sort of ground you and shape your perspective. Tell us a little bit about that, about how your parents, your kids, your father of four, your wife, how they have sort of shaped your worldview.
Well, I think there's a sense, if you read about me, and I always joke that you'd think my first name was billionaire because people always describe me that way.
Right.
But actually, and I think it's important for people to know, my mom was a teacher in the New York public schools, and she taught at the Brooklyn House of Detention. And my dad was a first-generation college student. He and his brother and sister were the first people in their family ever to go to college. My grandfather was a plumber, and my father quit his job as a lawyer to go in the Navy in World War II, which a lot of people did, and then he prosecuted the Nazis at Nuremberg. I mean, they were from a generation of Americans, which was Depression babies and World War II babies, who thought what you give back to America had better be at least as much as what you get from America.
The greatest generation.
And that was the ethos, that was the understanding that I grew up under. That's how I've tried to run my life too. That was our understanding. So it is true, I started a business by myself in one room, no employees, and I built it, you know, from scratch into a big multi-billion dollar international business. And I walked away from it, I took the giving pledge, and I started organizing coalitions of Americans to take on corporations, and really got into it fighting for climate. I mean, I left my business because I felt like there's a crisis here, we need to deal with it.
And the giving pledge, for people that don't know, it means that you're going to give at least half of your fortune to different charitable organizations
while you're alive.
In your lifetime.
Yes.
It's because that's another important part. All right, well, we like to have some fun on this show. You've done this before. It's called Personal Issues. This is where we ask you some quick questions to get to know you a little bit better. All right, you ready? So we put 30 seconds up on the clock, and here we go. What's your favorite way to relax?
Workout.
Favorite sports team?
The Giants.
Favorite fast food restaurant?
Chipotle.
Best thing about being a Californian?
Everything.
Favorite
is the best thing about being a Californian.
Favorite nickname?
For myself?
Yeah.
Tom.
Favorite Republican?
Oof. That's rough.
We can move on.
I would have said John McCain if he were still alive.
Okay.
Oof, that's a tough one.
Favorite TV show? Last question.
This one, the issue is, is the killer show, Alex.
That is how you win over the host. That is a politician, ladies and gentlemen.
Our thanks to Tom Steyer, and we're grateful that he has good taste. TV shows and also podcasts that right here on The Issue Is. Next up, let's have a debate about what we just heard, especially on the issue of impeachment. With us this week, John Cobalt, KFI's John and Ken show, been on radio forever in Southern California. Sarah Azari, an attorney who's written a book about President Trump. Brian Tyler Cohen, you may know him from Occupy Democrats, popular host online, progressive host. And we start on the impeachment question.
Do you think that what you've seen so far, does President Trump deserve to be impeached?
He's not going to get impeached. You got to give me the names of 20 Republican senators who are going to vote to remove him. And if you don't remove him, then there's no point to this. And the audience was burned out after 2.5 years of Russia, which went nowhere.
So you didn't answer that question, though. Do you think he deserves to be impeached?
No, over the phone call, though.
Why?
It's a God knows what goes on with presidents and world leaders on their private conversations. I don't care. I really don't. And I would like to have a full airing of how Hunter Biden got that job. Yeah. That's a great job to get with no experience.
$50,000 is a nice job. $50,000 a month, I'd take that for this job. Sarah Azari, you've written about this extensively. Does he deserve to be impeached? And was it illegal?
He deserves to get impeached. He should have been impeached yesterday over the Mueller conduct, the conduct of 10 acts of obstruction of justice. He's now repeating the same abuse of power again with the Ukraine call. This time it's obstruction of Congress. I mean, there's this clear parallel and pattern of conduct where this president is taking the office of presidency and using it for his own personal political gain. Clearly impeachable. That's what Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution is there for, saying a president shall get impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors, treason and bribery. And this is, I mean, he is committed a crime. You know, Republicans are saying, where's the crime? Where's the crime? The crime is campaign finance violations. You're reaching out to a foreign country to get help in an election.
And Brian, John's point, though, is, okay, you got 20 Republicans that don't vote for this. What does it matter? Maybe you're handing President Trump a political victory.
I mean, is that the bar? Is the bar really you don't follow the law because you don't think that some partisan politicians
in the bar. If you want to remove him, you got to get 20 Republicans. If 45% of the country likes Trump,
before there's removal. See, I don't believe that just because he might not get removed because of the composition of the Senate, that you should just dismiss impeachment. You're setting a precedent. You're setting a precedent that future presidents can come in and abuse their power, and nothing's going to happen to them.
A Ukrainian phone call. I hear nobody talking about this in the real world.
The Ukrainian phone call was not about the weather.
Let's let John get
outside
in there.
Outside of the bubble of media and East Coast cities, nobody cares about this, believe me. People are not talking about the intricacies. They don't know where Ukraine is. They don't know who the Ukrainian president is.
Let's get Brian in here, because you've got
different bubbles in the world. Yeah. And there's a vast America out there that doesn't follow this stuff and doesn't care, and their senators are not going to vote to remove
him. Let's get Brian in here.
Here's the thing. Condescending to people by saying that you can't point to where Ukraine is on a map isn't a reason to not pursue justice.
Take them and tell them why.
They don't care.
But John,
they
do care, because recent polls, all polls, even on Fox, have showed that the majority of Americans in this country do favor impeachment. They are paying attention. There's record interest in the next election. People do care.
This week.
And what do you make of that poll that shows the majority, 51%, say not only impeach him but remove him from office?
Right.
Let's see if that happens. I don't trust polls.
Okay.
I remember the 99% chance Hillary was going to win.
Yeah.
That's another thing that people in the bubble love.
I call you skeptical, John.
I flat out don't believe most polls on everything.
Yeah.
It's not just Trump stuff. There's a lot of ways to manipulate questioning. There's a lot of ways to oversample and undersample.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways to take a bad thing and say, wow, this will get a big headline and a lot of clicks. Let's go with it instead of throwing it out.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there.
Next up for our panel is this question of power outages. Governor Newsom had something to say about PG&E this week. Take a listen.
What's happened is unacceptable, and it's happened because of neglect. It's happened because of decisions that were deferred, delayed, or not made by the largest investor-owned utility in the state of California.
Governor Gavin Newsom expressing outrage that over a million Californians in the dark this week because of power outages to limit the liability of power companies for future wildfires. Is this sustainable? Back with our panel, John Cobalt, Sarah Azari, Brian Tyler Cohen. Brian, what do you think?
I don't think so. I think this is the epitome of what we've seen in terms of corporate greed. And you know, this is a company that's deferring solely to its shareholders and leaving people literally out in the dark.
Yeah, this company being PG&E. Where do we go? Because last time we had a situation like this, where we had a bunch of blackouts in this state, Gray Davis ended up being recalled, and we ended up with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right. Look, the way I look at it is that this is not news. We live in Southern California. We have these fires all the time. One's bigger than the one before. And these companies need to be prepared, and they need to be answerable. I mean, where's our money going? You know? So I'm frankly shocked that they're not able to handle this without cutting off power.
John, where do you see this
going? There was no penalty. They spent billions of dollars, gave the money back to investors. The last set of executives, when they quit after the Paradise Fire, they ran off with millions of dollars in payouts. There's no penalty. There were no crimes. There was no civil case. There was not even a hearing to publicly humiliate them.
So they're not being held accountable,
guys, you guys are into government. Where in the last 20, 40, 60 years has the government been overseeing PG&E? There are towers from 1910 that haven't been maintained.
Yeah, I mean,
so where's the government inspection?
Don't the Democrats bear some blame in all of this, too? I mean, they're the ones that control the government in this state.
I mean, I don't, something's wrong, okay? I just don't know exactly what is wrong.
Well, they do. They control, and they didn't do anything.
Right, yeah. Right.
You know, I think a more important issue also to keep in mind when we're talking about these wildfires is that we have half of the country pushing climate change denial through their politicians because they're getting...
This is not from climate change.
Wildfires?
It's electrical towers.
Right, but the wildfires are, and we're having...
Maybe it's a combination of all of those things together.
It's the electrical lines falling over because PG&E didn't take care of it.
We all can agree that politically a bunch of people in the dark for months is a bad thing for whoever's in charge.
Very bad, very bad. All right,
and our final thing for our panel, Democratic debate Tuesday night.
Bernie Sanders returning after a heart attack. Tom Steyer's first debate. Everyone not named Biden Warren looking to break out. What are you guys looking for?
I'm looking for which candidate is going to say how high the taxes are going to go to pay for the government-run health care. What's the number on the middle class?
Yeah, Bernie at least admits that they will go higher. Yeah. Sarah?
I don't care about policy. I'm looking at electability and being able to beat Trump.
And who
I'm
do you think
done.
That is?
Biden.
Brian, what do you think?
I think take a look at Elizabeth Warren to show how sharp she is and how she can set herself apart from the pack.
And you think that she's the one that is setting herself apart?
I think it's looking more and more like she's got the most going on for her right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, as we say farewell, I want to acknowledge one thing. This is the birthday for our producer, Greg Lindsay.
That's all for this week. Next week, we'll be talking about that debate. We'll be talking about a whole lot more. A special happy birthday to our producer, Greg Lindsay, as we mentioned. And we look forward to talking to you next Friday, which, by the way, is my birthday. So I guess a happy early birthday to me. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.